Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everybody, or I guess it's good afternoon here in Colorado already, and welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. My name is Lisa Gunshore, and as always, I am your host, and Buddhist Biohacker is on a mission to create conscious content for 1111D, and we are so excited. I always love having Rachel Gerlach here. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm happy to be here, as always.
Yeah, I just did really your monthly segments and listening to all of your great business advice and wisdom as far as being a woman and an entrepreneur and a mom and all those things at the same time. And I think all of us have had to maneuver how we live this year with all of the changes, kids being home and different things like that. So I'm happy to have you back, and welcome to everybody who's joining in the live as well.
It's going to be exciting. We have some good things to talk about.
There is. I really like this idea. So we were talking before we went live about being authentic and showing up authentically to work. And I think that's a great thing to talk about, because I think more and more it's becoming clear we really need to be ourselves in order to be happy, in order to be successful. And what have you seen that look like? What does that mean to you? Let's just dive into it.
Yeah, you know, I think the catalyst for that conversation was with a coaching session that I was having with one of my clients that owns a business, and she is managing upwards of 10 different, I would say contractors, not employees, but contractors, and really trying to go into the place of really being the CEO of her business. So kind of pulling out of doing the day-to-day and really start to move into this leadership position of being the CEO and driving the business and then mentoring and developing her team. And what was coming up for her was, well, I just want to be helpful. You know, I want to make sure that they like me. I want to make sure that I'm giving them what they need. And when we got down to the root of, you know, why did she want to be helpful and why did she want them to like her? It was really because she was afraid that, obviously, right, as an employee, if they don't like you, that they're going to leave. And so we talked about what that looked like is when she shows up in this, well, I want them to like me and I want to be helpful. Yes, of course, that's nice, right? But really, authentically, what she wanted to do was something completely different. And so the energy, the competing energies there, right, were exhausting her, and it was holding her back from truly being the type of mentor that she wanted to be. So she was kind of emulating something else that she had seen in the past or what she assumed her team needed, versus saying, no, this is actually what feels right to me, what feels like I'm in flow and what I want to do, but she couldn't quite get them together. And, you know, when that happens, when you're not living in your own accordance, you're going to have inflammation within your body. You're going to be tired all the time. You're going to live in a bit of confusion because you're like, you know, like which direction do you go? And then you're really not serving anybody, right? You're just kind of putting something out there, but it's not from a deep connection of serving individuals, including serving yourself. So I thought that was really interesting coaching, and I've seen that show up specifically with female entrepreneurs who are leaders of, I'm supposed to be this way, right? Whether I've been taught it, or many times we're not even taught it. We're just, we kind of like decide it in our brains. Yet the way I want to do it is over here. And then that incongruency, I see that a lot in the business world.
Yeah, and I think it's huge. As women, we tend to just be caretakers, right?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, you are breaking up.
It's hard. Am I really? Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
What is going on with my connection? It's probably energy. But anyway, I think hopefully you can hear this, but I think as women, you know, we're caretakers. And so we tend to try to hire people that we take care of instead of hiring people who are aligned with our mission.
Yeah, that could very well be true, right? If we are trying to go into this caretaking role, then what's happening is that you're not directing. You get out of the directing. That's not it. Caretaking is very different from CEOing, right? Mm-hmm. It is very much, because caretaking assumes that the other person needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And really what you are doing is you are hiring experts in their fields who don't need to be taken care of. And if you go in with a different perspective of, I don't need to take care of them, they are fully competent to take care of themselves. They are fully competent, and I respect them enough to manage that they will manage their own feelings and they will be their own advocates. And then we can come together as equals versus me trying to pull somebody up or me trying to get them to do what they want, or, you know, as the owner of the business. It can get messy, because if you are naturally a caretaker, and let's say that you do this in your own personal life and at home, the clear designation, the mental designation, right, and the skill set to go about that need to be developed.
Yeah, I totally agree. How do you coach to someone that is making those compromises, you know, is compromising their own values and beliefs in their own company? Like, how do you coach to that? And how does somebody start to make changes with that?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting, it's not as hard as you think, because what happens is the first step to change is awareness. So really it's getting the client or getting the person to start creating awareness of how they are showing up. What are their actions that they're taking? What is their belief system around this, right? And watching and exploring what they're doing. And then really, when we look at that, then you can break it apart and say, well, isn't this interesting? All this is just a thought that you created in your head around the way things should be, right? It's just a decision that you created, but it doesn't necessarily need to be true.
Mm-hmm.
It's optional. That was an optional decision that you created, an optional thought. And then really showing them how each one of those thoughts, so those decisions or those perceptions, if you will, they weren't handed to them. They still had to choose them. Right? It was like a platter of choices, and they were like, oh, that one seems to be right. I'll take that one. But there really wasn't anything behind it. And so once they can see that was just an option for them to choose from, then we can say, okay, well, what if we hand you a different platter with different choices now? Now that you see how you're operating and it's getting you X result, let's say that this platter has got this whole, I don't know, option of little, you know, choices, and you pick one and it can get you this result over here. Which one would you pick? And so we start to break down the belief system. We understand where it came from, why it was created, what results it gets you, and then looking at it and saying, do we want to keep those or do we want to get rid of those? And if we get rid of them, what do we replace it with, right, to get the results that we want? It's very, very eye-opening.
Yeah, you know, I've experienced this in my own work with the show, you know, as far as like trying to make everyone happy versus what's aligned really with what are the values. of, you know, for example, Buddhist biohacker and who and what is aligned with that. And there really was this moment, like you said, about being eye-opening. There's this moment where you realize, wait a minute, I'm my own boss, and I can decide what aligns with me and what doesn't align with me. When you agree that that's almost like the aha moment is like, wait a minute, I'm actually working for myself and I don't have to please all these people because they actually work.
That seriously is where Free Your Mind coaching came from, is like that moment, the aha moment, right? And then all of a sudden you're free. You're not thinking about it and spinning about it. Like it just poof, it opens up and you're free to create and design in accordance with your true inner self. That is the ultimate freedom right there. Yes.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what was interesting is when I was working with this client was the concept that we are not responsible for any other human being's emotions. And so I explained it in the sense of, look, you're not, your actions, if they are authentic to you, you respect yourself enough that you can manage all those feelings that come up with it. And then wouldn't it be nice if you could look at the other person and say, God, I respect you so much and that I know you're going to handle your own emotions. And once you let go of that control of trying to create their experience to make sure it's happy and positive and light and all these other things that we want to do, right? Once mm-hmm. you let go of that control, you can just both be authentically who you are. You can just both be yourselves without anybody trying to manipulate the message or the outcome, because you're both taking care of your own self. And then you come together with an open and free and creative mind.
That's like well said. It should be like chiseled and like rock.
I think with business and with your partners and with your kids, right, is like they can handle this human experience. Mm-hmm. I love them enough that I know that they can handle this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to your point, I mean, we are always trying to control the outcome or to make other people happy. And we also, I notice, especially women, I think, you know, men too, but I think as women, we are always apologizing what we believe, what we think, what we feel, what we want. And so there is that moment where you really have to have, and I feel like it's a deeper like self-assurance or a self-love. There's this deeper part like that we don't love or trust ourselves. And so we're always apologizing for ourselves. And that gets in the way, especially if you're running your own company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when we're in confusion, right, of like, is this the right thing to do? Is this how you show up? Do I really believe this within myself? Is then when we apologize, right? Because when you're really clear on your values, decisions are easy. And you don't apologize for them. They are a core value. They're your like founding fathers, if you will. Why would you ever apologize for that? And so when we're not clear on those values and we don't understand them and we don't look at them, you know, frequently, then we start to go into confusion of like, does this align? Does this align? Does this align? Oh, I'm sorry, because I don't know if it aligns. It's almost like I'm sorry, but really I'm sorry to me is because I'm not fully understanding and embracing me. So like a values worksheet, you can find it anywhere on Google. I recommend that people do it like every quarter because we are shifting and then really looking at that and then kind of like cross-referencing against your life to say, if these are my values, right? These are my guideposts. Is my life aligning with that? And when you can get those two to align, it is such an amazing flow. I'm not saying that there's not gonna be negative emotions because that's just 50-50 living, but you're gonna be in a flow. You're gonna be more at peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of my questions too, is like how do folks start to uncover their values? Like what does that exercise look like? Because it is an interesting exercise to really look at it. And I wonder if if folks who are listening and watching are like, well, I don't know really even like what is the value and how do I define it? I'm just curious, like some of the those activities they can do or some of your thoughts are around that or coaching around that.
Yeah. So there's a values where there, like online, like I said, you can look at a lot of different sites where there's a values worksheet. You can also, if you want, you can email me and I'll mail one back, right? It's super easy with instructions. And it's just a spreadsheet. It sounds so rudimentary, but really it's a list of all the values that are available. And then you look through them and you highlight what's coming up for you, not overthinking it. And then you put them on this spreadsheet and then you kind of compare them to each other. So it would be like honesty against equality. And you'd have to pick which one ranks higher for you. And then you go through and you total them up and then you see like your top three, your top five values. Then we can look at that and you can really dive deep into them and understand, well, what does it mean about honesty? What does equality mean to me? What's even the definition? I mean, how many times do we actually go to the Webster's and really read the definition of these words and then say, okay, that is an alignment. That is exactly my belief system and why it's my belief system. And why would I ever apologize for that, because I get to show up like that. I get to show up with these values and people get to decide if they want that or not. Do they want to be around that or not? And let them have that. That's not yours. You live solid here. Like the Maya Angelou, right? Her, the tree poem. I can't think of it, but really your roots, right? Strong roots and something, it was like being able to be grounded, but also flow within it, but always stay within the roots, within your own roots. I can't think of that poem right now, but that's what just came up for me.
Oh, I love that. I know when you're talking about too, and I don't remember it either. I'll have to look it up after the show. But yeah, how does someone, so when we look at our values and we look at our structure of our business, right? Because our businesses have a construct. How do we lay our values on that construct? Like, what does that look like? Because I think something I've really this year in 2020, you know, because I've been this little one woman show for a long time. And so suddenly the one woman show is a three woman show. There's more stuff going on. And it's also, you know, how to lead community. So I've really had to do exactly what you're talking about. Like, look at my values. And when you start looking at what you believe in and laying it on your construct with your mission, like what does that look like? And what have you seen with yourself, with your clients? Because your views and your vision and your mission kind of all go together. But if you look at them separately, you start to realize how maybe they're not as aligned as you thought and you feel like you want to start making changes, I think.
Yeah, I think that it is always in your best interest to design your business around your core values, right? So if your mission and your core values are not in alignment, then you're going to have to be on to yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Which one is off? Because I can't quite reconcile a mission that isn't in alignment with your values. I just can't. I don't even know what that would look like. Maybe that's what like these big, oh my God, this is not me not being very nice, but maybe that's what like big top CEOs who are not in alignment look like. And they're just running from top down, top down, top down. Right. But from where we're standing and who I work with is smaller female owned businesses. And the two of them have to align. Now you always start with your values, but you always have to ask yourself why, right? So if you have a value, and the why is driven by fear, right? So let's say fidelity. And your fidelity top value is there, not because it's like a true internal belief system, because you're freaked the F out because you've been cheated on, right? You might have to do some work around that to really get clear of like, no, is this a control mechanism value? Or is this my true inner being value? Because you can create these values, right? Because you're scared I mean, you can create them because you were given to them or you're expected to have them. Spiritual beliefs, right? You're expected to behave a certain way from families. You know, values are not just something like, oh, that's my value. It doesn't happen like that. It's that's my value. Why? Why? And be very truthful with yourself. Then you get to decide, right? Then you can say, okay, now, if that's not aligning with my mission, there's something wrong there. There's a broken link and you got to keep diving deeper. That's why I think coaching is so phenomenal, because it's like if the mirror is too close, like when you're trying to do your own work, sometimes the mirror is really, really close and everything is blurry. And a coach can just come in and kind of like move that mirror back to create visibility and pull things out of you that you may not have seen if you were trying to do it on your own. And quite frankly, call you out on the BS, right? Of like, no, that doesn't actually make sense. Let me show you why. Now, do you see it differently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And that's so needed, because it's important for us to step back and really look. And I think it links to that, the shadow work, the inner work too, because I know for me, when I get most frustrated, it's usually when I feel like I'm having to do something that's outside of a boundary, right? There's like some kind of boundary thing happening. And I think that's true for all of us. And I think in relation to what we're talking about right now, is a lot of times as a leader and a business owner and a CEO, our frustrations with our business come from those boundaries being crossed, because we probably compromised something, and that compromise was probably our values. And now there's something that's out of alignment, you know? And I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious, like, you know, how do you, I don't quite know how to ask what I want to ask, but what I want to ask is, you know, when someone comes to you and they say, Rachel, like, I'm so frustrated, this thing is happening, like, how do you coach out of that? And what can people do to get out of that? Because I think it's tough, because you might realize the lesson, but you'll have to manage the linear construct of whatever's going on in your business.
Yeah, you know, well, that is a great question, is like, how do you coach people through that? But I want to, okay, so I'm going to write that down. Because what you said something that I think is really, really, really important, and it's around the boundaries. Mm-hmm. Specifically with female entrepreneurs, is most of the clients that I work with and most of the female entrepreneurs that I know, and myself included, have never actually set and communicated their boundaries. And when you don't do that, right, you're a free form. Mm-hmm. Everybody can come at you from any direction. And then it's like you're kind of feel like you're being assaulted from all the, like you said, like, right, you're getting it from this end and this end and this end. And then you're all of a sudden you're like, bah, and you explode. And then you come to me and you're like, fix it. How do we fix this? Like, talk me through this, coach me through this. And really, when we go and dive into it, is like, either you didn't set a boundary with yourself or you didn't set a boundary with others in your sphere, right? Like in your realm. And boundaries are the greatest form of self-love, right? Taking care of yourself and protecting yourself is like the greatest form of self-love. And most of us, and I don't want to generalize, but I do think women, I don't think women are men. I think in general, I never was given the opportunity to say, do you know, like explain, like as a child, do you know what a boundary is? Do you know how to set a boundary? Do you know what it looks like to uphold, like, right, the boundary? Mm-hmm. And it's not forcing somebody else to do something. It's here is my line in the sand. If it's crossed, then I will do this because I will take care of myself. Mm-hmm. So everybody out there, if you're not building and honoring your boundaries, it's like, I want everybody to do that this week. And you can start small, you can start big, but that is like such an important piece of taking care of yourself, is this is my boundary. And then making sure that you clearly communicate it And the biggest piece of this is, right, it's not a boundary if you don't honor it.
Yeah.
It's not a boundary. It's just a statement. Then it just becomes a statement. And then you don't honor it. I do this with my son in his, like, his PS4 every time. And I'm like, I am creating this, right? But my boundary is this. And then you go back on it. You're teaching people that they can, quite frankly, walk over you, which then that doesn't feel good, right? And then you come and you've got the problems. Then you're like, why is this happening to me? It's not happening to you. You have done this, right? Full ownership. Super, super important is the boundaries.
Yeah, and I think it happens a lot when you hire people or you're managing employees, because we care about people. So you, and you compromise your boundary, right? You're like, oh, they didn't have quite the experience, but I really liked them. And then they start doing the job and then they're not doing it right because they didn't have the experience, but you don't really want to coach them because you really like them. And then before you know it, you're doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. And now you're angry. You still haven't coached them. I mean, oh my God, that happens all the time. And that's like just one thing of like many things that can happen with a business, you know, is like having those appropriate boundaries. And I've noticed too, when you work with other people, them having boundaries. Like, yeah. It's kind of amazing, like people, you know, whether it's a client or an employee or, you know, whatever kind of collaboration is, some folks don't know how to say no. And so they say yes, and then they can't meet what you're trying to meet. So it's really important that it's almost like these are contracts, right? It's like you're entering into a contract with someone and being able to meet them and them meeting you, you both have to do it or else there's definitely some kind of issue.
Oh, totally. Totally. We see, so there is a, Shirzad Carmine. So he is the creator of positive intelligence, mental fitness. And you can find it, it's either mental fitness or PQ, or just look up Shirzad Carmine, right? And so he talks about these saboteurs that we have within our lives that, quite frankly, like these character traits that saboteur us when we take them to heightened levels. So they're really, really good, like a hyper controller, right? Controller is good, but hyper controller is gonna sabotage you. I see the pleasers. So if you do this assessment and you are a pleaser, you're gonna probably start to recognize that as a pleaser, you don't set the boundaries. Because if you set a boundary, you might, right, that the other person that you're setting the boundary with might not like it. And they might resist it and they might fight it. And then because you're a pleaser, right, like you don't want that you spend your whole life avoiding hurting people's feelings, right? So I see this a lot. So real, I think it's a really good assessment to take. And actually, if you're interested in it, like this is not within our realm here, but if you're interested in it, there is a course that's coming up that I can direct people to. If you're interested. Yeah, it's a pod. It's a 6-week pod. I actually just finished mine about 3 weeks ago. I thought it was fun, phenomenal. I did it with the Canthal group. So if you look up the Canthal group, there's one at the end of October that's coming up and you can register with Darren Campbell, and he's going to take people through this again. So this is kind of what he does, but it's phenomenal because then you can look at that and say, you know, my experience is controllers don't have a lot of problems with boundaries because they are like controlling everything internally with themselves. And so sometimes like they will have too many boundaries. So it gets really nuancy and crazy and I love it. And it's kind of like figuring out with each client is where they operate, showing them how they operate, and then really saying like, okay, like then we go into the boundaries of like, okay, this is who you are. And this might be why you're uncomfortable setting these boundaries, but then showing them what it does look like to set it from a healthy perspective to please yourself, like, right? The only thing that you can really control is yourself. So it's all very fascinating in that sense of going deeper, but boundaries, everybody start doing them. They're so important.
They really are. And boundaries is like a constant, something to, I think it's something you have to work on consistently. Like it's not, It's not like you get it one day and suddenly you're boundary oriented. Like, it really is like having to ask yourself, like, and it goes back to the value piece. And I'm trying to think even how to articulate it, because I've had a new layer of understanding it this year, you know? And so for all of you out there who run businesses, like, I think, you know, you really do have to step back and say, like, is the flow coming in equaling the amount of work going out? Mm-hmm. You know, is the team that I've built supporting my vision, mission, values? You know, there's so many nuances in it. It's like unbelievable.
It's very deep. It's very layered. I do think that if you're not skilled at it, or you've not had a good mentor, that it is worth working with somebody, whether it's a therapist. I don't know if therapists do this, but therapists, probably not a friend or family member, right? But a mentor, a coach. I do think it's worth working with somebody, especially as an entrepreneur, because that is going to affect, right? How you're showing up is going to affect your bottom line 100%. So really taking the time to understand how you show up and how you operate and what needs to be done. Like, this is a process. It's not just, oh, I registered with the state and I have this business and everything is great and I'm going to make tons of money. It's not that at all. It's like, the more you understand yourself and how you are flowing through the course of our life and evolving through the life. And then you have this, you know, great foundational tool set to say, oh, we have to shift. That means like my values have shifted. And then what does the business need to do? It is such an important investment to being a successful entrepreneur. 100%. Your bottom line, well, you can dot it, you know, your bottom line is dotted line to you. Mm-hmm. You are your business.
Yep, exactly. So as we wrap up, you know, we're coming to fourth quarter. We are in fourth quarter now, and yep, it's the end of the year, and it's been a very interesting year. And a lot of us, I'm going to guess you have a lot of new clients, because I'm guessing a lot of people started their business this year. A lot of people are working from home when they weren't before. It's been a lot of change. And so the values exercise is a great exercise to do to kind of re-gauge and reflect on what really matters to you now. What are some other things that folks can do to be able to look back on this year and to really formulate their plans as they go into 2021?
Yeah, I love this time of year because it's like closing and beginning are flowing into each other. I always look at that as, because like it is, it's the time of year that you stop and reflect in order to create. And so yeah, I personally recommend this time, you know, everybody's business is going to be a little bit different, but in general, this is the time that you, I think, need to take a little break. And I don't, so when I say that, I don't want everybody, right? Everybody's gonna have a different interpretation of that. Like, oh, I'm done for the year. No, but I definitely think it's important to get quiet. And that's an overused statement. And people say, well, what does that mean? So prime example, yesterday, right? I was driving to a trailhead to go mountain biking. And it was the first time I really feel like my brain was like, I had quiet in probably a week and a half. And as soon as like the radio was off, nobody's in my car, all these thoughts started flooding in. And I was like, oh yeah, I can't hear myself if I'm constantly listening to other things or if I'm constantly trying to create, right? And that is very much a symptom of entrepreneurs, is create, 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 right? Like we're spinning, 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 spinning. You have to be giving equal airtime to the silence, to the white noise. So this is such an important time, if you can, to schedule out, I don't know, 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, like sabbatical, if you will, where you go somewhere or you're in your home, but you set yourself up that you have ample time to get quiet, to look back, but look back from curiosity, not look back of like, oh, I should have, right? Like getting really detail oriented. Just look back and reflect and get curious to write down the new thoughts that are coming up with your business, right? And maybe even taking that values worksheet and saying, am I living authentically? Am I living in accordance with my values? If not, what would that look like going forward? And so number one, like stop, I guess is it. Hit the brake, give yourself time to hear yourself, and then write it all down. And then when you've given yourself the deadline to go back into it, you're gonna have a whole new perspective of the past year and the future year coming up.
I love it. You know, I'm taking December off.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You're doing it right. It's exactly perfect. And what are you gonna do? Tell us like what, why, and what are you gonna do at that time?
Yeah, so I actually, one thing I'm really good at, and I think it's 20 years in retail. So I was definitely trained well, went through lots of leadership coaching, but I'm also a big planner and I'm a big visionary thinker. So I have to do that reflection piece because it's just kind of part of my nature. Mm-hmm. But what I do, I do this at the end of every year. So I have these little notebooks. So this is my notebook right now. And they're just little notebooks. I've filled up 5 this year. Normally it's like 2 for work specifically, for my practice and everything. So what I do at the end of every year, and what I'm doing this year in particular, is I go through all of my journals for the year and I really look at a couple things. One is, what is repetitive? Like I might have an idea I wrote down like 16 different times. And that, so I take kind of the top ideas and things that I wrote down or projects that were on my list. That it's like, okay, these are things I really want to execute in the new year because they came up so much. I also look at things I journaled about personally that came up so much. Like what's the stuff that really needs to be worked on? So I look at that. I also choose like a couple of practices to do. So I have a couple books, Barry Rissman's book, Evolving Your Yoga, I'm doing. And I have a couple other books that I'm going to work on. So I kind of, it's like the time to like, okay, these are the things that all year long I wanted to deep dive into and I never had time to do it. So for example, her Evolving Your Yoga book is a self-inquiry journal and guidebook to deepening your yoga practice. And so as a yoga instructor, I really want to take time. So that gives me time to spend on my body, but also just my own practice and what that means. And then I have a couple Ayurveda books that I wanted to dive into to just, you know, continue to develop my own learnings around what I do as a health coach. So December for me, I'm doing exactly what you're saying. I'm taking that break and that time. I am taking a whole month off, kind of. I mean, the other thing I'm doing, this is actually fun to talk about because I run a business, right? And I have a practice and we have the show and all these things. So I actually have a retreat, like virtual retreat time scheduled for me and my team, and to reflect on the year, to talk about the plans for the new year. We have new shows coming out on Buddhist Biohacker next year. So we're going to spend time really looking at that, talking about what our vision is for the new year. And I did exactly what you said. I really looked at my values because, you know, having a public forum, what do I believe? What do I stand behind? What do I want to educate on? What don't I want to? You know, there's lots of stuff that goes into that. And so it's been a lot of, like, to talk about boundaries. It's like, well, do we want to stand behind any particular belief systems or platforms or politics or any of those things, and having to decide that, write up disclaimers, you know, all that stuff is part of the journey of running a business, especially when you have a show like this. So that's what I'm doing. So self-reflection, creating a new vision, and tuning in with my spiritual mission and what does my collective spirit team want me to do next year too. That's the other thing. You know, there's that spiritual aspect that does come in when you're working for yourself. I think you are connected to it or not, don't you think?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. And I love that. I mean, I really love that you, it takes confidence to do that. It takes confidence, right, within yourself and within your business, that if you take a break, it's not the end of the world. Your business isn't going to go under, right? You know confidently that you got to find this confidence that if you take that space it's actually going to grow your business. It's going to grow you, right? You're going to have a higher energy to develop and create from. So, I mean, kudos for you that you know that that is, like, this is necessary and it's needed, and you will do, I don't want to say better, because there is not, that's not it, but you're going to, you get the opportunity to do it differently by taking this time. Mm-hmm. I do think for a lot of women, we are, you know, it can be very easy to tell ourselves a story that it's not okay to take the time. It's too risky to take the time. We got to keep going, because we tend to go and go and go and give and give and give, right? So did you, was there any piece of you that struggled with the scarcity of, like, if I do take a bit of a break, what if, is it going to go wrong? I feel like you're really confident in this, that probably didn't come up, but has it in the past?
Oh, it totally has in the past. This is actually probably the first time where I was like, nope, taking a break. Don't care what that means. Got to take it. Got to do it. But, you know, a funny thing when you look at YouTube statistics, and I see that I've been on a live almost 300 hours this year. I mean, that's a lot of content. And that doesn't include the many, many clients and classes and other things I'm teaching and doing one-on-one. And four studies and all those things. This is the first time, yes, in the past to take any kind of break was hard. And there was a point, because as a psychic, there was a point where I was reading people in the middle of the night. I would take calls, I would do whatever, I was always available. I had people texting me, I had people calling me, I was all. And it has taken 10 years. And so for everybody out there who's struggling with boundaries, like, I have been there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really taken, I've been doing this for 17 years. It's taken 17 years for me to say, you know what? I'm not going to have those texts. You know, and it's little things. It's business decisions, right? It's creating a website where you can book an appointment and my schedule is in there and it's all automated. Like, that is a real thing when you're running a business. It's really important because that's a boundary, right? Like,
yes.
It allows you as the client to make your own decisions about when you want to talk to me or how that's going to look. But it also takes that off my plate.
Yes.
Because managing that myself is just not there anymore for me. And so that is a direct example, live example of a boundary that has kept me from getting text messages at 2 a.m. from somebody who's stressing out about their boyfriend or whatever that is. I mean, it's valid to have those feelings, but I don't know that we should be texting at 2 a.m, you know?
Right,
so
right.
That doesn't work for me anymore. I have to sleep and rest.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's the lack of boundaries is usually so that we can avoid the feeling a negative emotion. Right. Because if we don't have a boundary, then you can just free flow and just take care of everybody else, because you don't want to deal with, like, you, your client. Like, what if you say to them, I'm not available at 2 a.m. and they don't like it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you have to deal with, like, oh, I disappointed them, and oh, I'm going to lose a client. Right. Like, you have to deal with those negative emotions. So that's why we don't set the boundaries. But that doesn't actually move us forward. That takes away from our well-being. It takes away from really the protecting our own soul, if you will. Like, we are the voice for our soul. And so we have to protect it. We have to set its boundaries. It's, you know, I think with this is like with entrepreneurs, I think it's important to know that whatever way you do it is right, as long as you love the outcome.
Yeah. Right?
There's no playbook. You don't have to follow any corporate playbook. You don't have to, you know, if you, I know we all do this, right? We buy the books and we buy the courses and we hire people. And yes, of course, I love it when you hire me to help you with entrepreneur coaching. But at the end of the day, it's not really following somebody's playbook. It's because you think that's the right way to do it. It's like the way you are doing it is right. And how you know is if you love the outcome. And if you don't love the outcome, it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It just means you need to explore it and understand it. And then you can shift it. So dropping some of that pressure, I think, is really important.
Well, and that's a good point, because I think if you have a functional boundary in your business, whatever that looks like, you feel supported.
Yes.
And so to your point of like, you know, if you don't love the outcome, yeah, if you're feeling frustrated and tired and drained and that did not support you at all, then you probably didn't have the right construct to support what you need.
Yes, your own internal contract with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And even though it's intangible, right, it feels very tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is a living, breathing contract.
It is, and that's the roots you were talking about. I mean, that's the root. The root is the roots of those tree, you know, is your own needs and care and value and that contract that you're talking about with yourself.
Yeah.
You gotta get clear on that. Once you get clear on that, it's really easy to filter the external stuff.
Yes, so much so. You know, I just don't think that many of us have had the opportunity to really do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. You know, that to know what's out there and know that there's lots of resources available. But it's, you know, I take my mom, for example, with this. It's like she's never been given this opportunity, nor has it. And right, we all are about self-accountability of like, well, she could handle it herself. But when it's not even in your like mindset, right, when it, like you don't know that it exists until something can show you that it exists. I think of a foreign exchange student we had here. She'd never seen snow before. She'd heard of it, but she'd never seen it before. I feel like this is kind of the same thing with these boundaries and these constructs and these contracts with yourself is like they, if you don't, if it's just, it seems like a mirage, right? Like you're not going to go after it. You really need to understand that there are things available for you to discover this, to help you create it, to help you create those roots.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're one of them. So I want you to share as we wrap up here, like what I've seen some great stuff on your Instagram. I know you have a scholarship program out there. I know you've got some stuff happening. So what else do you have happening for folks who want to connect with you and get some support and some coaching when it comes to their business?
Yeah. So obviously find us on freeyourmindcoaching.com. We are on Instagram as well as Facebook. Every month I do a scholarship application for individuals to work with me who may not have the financial resources to go through one of my programs. And I would say, definitely take advantage of that. I mean, it is a lengthy application process. I want everybody to be very invested because I give 4, 5, 6 months of my time. It is discounted depending on your situation, but that is available, right? If you know somebody or you yourself are like, I need to do this, let's talk about it. Please, please, please schedule a consult. You can do it on my Calendly. You'll see it on my website. Schedule a time to have an interview for that application. We have one coming up for November. As this business grows, as Free Your Mind grows, like we're going to be starting to do interviews beginning, I think, the end of October. And I'll make sure I post them on our social media as well as our Facebook site, or I'm sorry, website. So I'm going to be interviewing individuals within kind of our world with Free Your Mind. So it's entrepreneurial coaching and coaching for women who are contemplating navigating or post-divorce or together, right? Entrepreneurs who are contemplating navigating and post-divorce. So I'm bringing in resources of divorce lawyers, tax attorneys, financial advisors. Lisa, I should bring you in on this too. So really talking with individuals, marketing consultants, right? Bringing individuals in so we can do Q&As and get some free advice along the way, because, you know, like that's the thing is like, where do you find, who do you call, where, what steps? So it's kind of like my trusted advisors that I work with and I will connect people with. It's going to be free resources, sign up for the webinars, utilize that information because it's invaluable. You're going to learn from those who are experts in their field. So that is my way to serve my community outside of working with me one-on-one. And then hopefully from there, we're gonna continue to create. We'll see.
I love it. Well, I love the things you post. I think they're very inspiring and pay close attention to it. And it's just so happy to have you on here. And I know next month we have our awakening and then we're all going to take a nice break on Buddhist Biohacker for the month of December, which we'll have almost, I think we'll have over 200 shows by then or close to 200 shows. So you guys will have plenty of stuff to watch in the month of December. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have year. So we're kind of wrapping things up over here too, even though it's October, but I'm with you. I think the flow, my circadian rhythm really is, as we go into these shadow months, you know, it's really a time of self-reflection. It's a time to wrap up. And the November Awakening event, you guys, registration is open. It's oneearth.net. We have all of the presenters and the live schedule that's listed and everything opens November 1st. Of course, all of Rachel's information is in the show notes as well. And Rachel, I just love you so much. I always appreciate you.
Thank you, Lisa. These are so much fun. It's just such a great conversation. And I really appreciate that. So thank you for all you're doing. Oh my gosh, we'll see you next month. And then it's going to be in 2021 that we get to keep doing this.
I know. I'm so happy, you guys. Rachel's going to be back quarterly in 2021, which is going to be awesome. And I can't wait to see like how your work flourishes also, and continue to support all of you guys out there who have your own businesses, because it's a lot of folks in the community. So I know we need this information and these reminders. So
yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who's listening and watching. We are back next week. This was a quiet week this week, but I think we have 7 shows next week. So we'll be back with all sorts of stuff next week. We will be on a couple hours, 2 or 3 shows in a week. In 2021. So you know, keep your eyes and ears open for our schedule for the upcoming year. We'll be sending some more information out. And much love to you, Rachel. Thank you, everybody. And have an amazing, amazing weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.